Today's episode is brought to us by Umbris sunglasses. They are armless, they have a cord, they are amazing. I love mine. I can take them anywhere. They won't fall off while I mountain bike. And if you would like to get a pair, go to Instagram, find Umbras, O-M-B-R-A-Z, send them a message, and they're giving away three free pair this month. Something else I like to take with me anywhere is a couple packs of CS Instant Coffee. If I can't drag along all my coffee equipment, I do have that option to have incredible coffee in the backcountry or anywhere I go. Go to csinstant.coffee and use the code ADVENTURE at checkout for a discount on their incredible instant coffee.
If you have an inkling to do something like a thru hike, I would not discourage you one bit from it. I would say, heck, man, go for it. It's the best thing you will ever do. But I just would love people to just kind of see that, like, yeah, you know, there's other sides of it, and hopefully that we can all help each other get through it.
This is the Adventure Sports Podcast, trying to help you find adventure every day. In any stage of life, you're going to hear from explorers, adventurers, business owners, and anyone living their life a little more out of the box than usual. So today's episode is pretty long, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I rant a lot. It's with Joe Jimenez. He was on the show over a year ago talking about financial planning. And I'm just going to tell you the story. After the interview, we get to, you know, we exchange numbers and we're texting back and forth. And we realize that back in high school, I had actually gone over to Joe's house to play basketball with some friends. And as soon as he said that, I had seen a picture of him because I looked up his Instagram. You know, when I interview someone, I obviously do a lot of research first. And as soon as he said that, like, I'm from this area in Florida, it was just unbelievable. I saw his face and thought, I remember seeing you 10 years ago in high school playing basketball in your backyard. We didn't stay in touch at all, of course, but through the podcast and through hiking, we reconnected just randomly, and he ended up being on this show, and we didn't realize any of this until after the interview. It was really cool. Well, anyway, Joe recently did the PCT, which is the Pacific Crest Trail. He's done the Appalachian Trail, and just things, you know, he had a really crazy year, to say the least. And, you know, we have definitely become friends since discovering we were, you know, really old friends from high school. But anyway, wanted him back on to talk about something he's going through right now, which is post-adventure depression. It's very, you know, very real phenomenon. I definitely experienced it plenty of times. And but I just wanted to, you know, let everyone know we're going to be discussing depression. I have been, you know, through a pretty long depression a few years ago that lasted a while. I've talked about it on the show before. But it is my opinion that it is good to talk about these things, just so you know that you're not alone. And also, it's kind of inevitable for adventurers to experience something so high, like a through hike or a cross-country bike trip or, you know, whatever, climbing a mountain, to feel lows afterwards. And sometimes those lows can get pretty low. And if you're going through something like that, you know, it's the holidays. This is a, you know, a happy time of year, but it's also, you know, physically outside, it's very dark, very early. And, you know, it's not always the happiest time of year for some people. So if you're out there and you're not feeling, you know, just great this time of year, I want you to know you're not alone. And, you know, there are people that that love you and that want to listen to you, and that I encourage you to find people that you can talk to about how you're feeling. And so, don't mean to end the year on something that with the depression in its name, an episode with depression in its name, but it's the reality of a lot of us. And it's just part of life. It's part of being an adventurer. It's part of, for a lot of us, it's part of just living this life. It's going to be times where you're go through something like this. So thank you so much, Joe, for talking about it. Thank you for letting me ramble everyone through this intro and through the episode. And a second announcement, we are going to be taking off for the next 2 weeks. I definitely need a break. I work from home full time and watch our 7-month-old full time and run this podcast solo. So it is a lot of work. So we're traveling, and so we're going to just take off the next 2 weeks and start off the new year fresh on Monday, January 6th. So yeah, look forward to seeing y'all in 2 weeks. Enjoy time with your family. Listen to some old episodes. I recently released all the previous episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcast, everywhere. So you can go back. It's not just the most recent 100 anymore. It's every single episode, nearly 600 episodes now. So go check them out. Enjoy your holidays. Do something fun. Yeah, get out there and have some fun. And thank you again for allowing me to go a little longer on this intro and on this episode. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, or whatever it is you celebrate. Enjoy it, whatever it is. All right, get out there and have some fun. All right, folks, welcome to the show. Today we're talking to Joe Jimenez, and if you don't, or if you have a good memory, he was on episode 443 talking about financial planning for a life of adventure. And that was November 16th, 2018. So it's been over a year, but, Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mason. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, man, you've had a heck of a year since we talked, to say the least. You know, it's good and bad, and just, you know, lots of life has happened to you in the last year.
Yes, sir, man. 2019 will forever go down in history as just one of the most memorable years I've ever had. I mean, I can't imagine a more epic year.
Dang, man. So you know, people heard it in the intro, but I mentioned that you did the PCT this past year. But you know, what comes to mind for you when you think about in 2019?
Oh man, it was just it's definitely a year of transition. The beginning of this year, my wife and I, she's a wedding planner, and we attended a wedding show in Montana, and we did really well at the show, booked a handful of weddings, and we just, after a long time of planning and talking about it and just trying to, just sitting down and talking about what we wanted to do in life, we just decided that we were going to make a grand move to Montana, just outside Glacier National Park. And that was just the start of this year. And after making that decision to move to Montana, I decided to actually hike the Continental Divide Trail. And that's where it all begins. This April, I just set off to do that hike. And I had in mind that just walking to where we were going to move to was going to be, I just had all the romantic and all the, you know, all the just epic ideas of having this big journey. And I had that in my mind when I set out to do this hike, and that's kind of where it all began this year.
Yeah, but that didn't go as planned, right?
No, sir. No,
so what happened?
Yeah, so I started hiking. Everything was great, man. You know, as you know, I hiked the Appalachian Trail in 2012. So I already had, this is my second long distance trail. So I already felt dialed in, as we say. I felt like I knew what I was doing. I was in my happy place. I was, you know, I was just having a great time, just met some good people on the trail. And I started hiking in New Mexico. The weather was perfect. My gear was just perfect. You know, I just had everything all just perfectly planned out. And I got through New Mexico, nothing major, no major issues, just continuing, just living my best life out there on the CDT. And then I got into Colorado, and as you know, living in Colorado, you know, this year was a grand snow year, historic snow year. And that I quickly found out that it was just that, well, I experienced just a very high avalanche danger. So I was hiking with one guy at the time. So we made it into Colorado, and I had been hiking with this guy from France. He actually lived in Chamonix. So he was very well versed in skiing, and he was actually ski touring through Colorado and through all the snow sections.
While you're trying to through hike.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. We became buds. We were the best pals ever. And I actually did have snowshoes, so I wasn't necessarily just out there walking, but you know, trying to stay together with someone who's on skis while you're on snowshoes, as you can imagine, that is just not possible. So basically, you know, we stayed together for a couple of weeks, and it quickly became clear that, you know, this is just, we couldn't stay together. And as you know, on the CDT, there's a lot less people on the trail. So it's not like there's, you know, like some of the other trails are a bit more well trafficked. So there's big groups everywhere. You can find people around you. I mean, there was a good solid I would say a little over 2 weeks that we didn't see anybody but each other. So, and at the same time,
what was that like for you? Was that hard to deal with? Because you came from, you know, the AT, which I assume would be a lot busier.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot busier. I enjoyed it. You know, in retrospect, I didn't realize just the nature of how remote it was. I think because we had our, I think if I was alone, I would have, you know, it would have affected me a lot more. But we had each other's company, so I definitely think that did help me because it didn't give me the opportunity just to realize, like, if I didn't have him. There was a couple of times where we got split up, and I mean, it definitely felt pretty lonely out there. But, you know, I tend to like, I do like the solitude on the trails. So some people might not have liked it as much as I did, but I did enjoy it. I did like just having, it felt like we had the whole trail to ourselves. But at the same time, his dream was to ski through Colorado, and I didn't want to mess up his adventure. And I knew that was a big goal for him. So, I mean, we just made the decision. And when I got to Pagosa Springs, Colorado, before I'd gotten there, I realized, you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to continue. So that's kind of my, that's when I decided to jump on to the PCT. I know it sounds crazy.
Yeah. So I guess the PCT just didn't have as much snow.
Yeah. Well, you're familiar with the Triple Crown, AT, CDT, and PCT. And mm-hmm. I knew I had an inkling to do all three and one day become a Triple Crowner. So part of my reasoning for jumping ship from the CDT is just knowing that I would be able to come back. And I knew at some point I would want to hike the PCT as well. And the reason for choosing to start over, and I started back at the border of Mexico and California, was because I knew that starting...
That's so difficult.
Yeah, it was mid-May at the time. So I knew that starting that, I mean, that's considered a kind of a late start. Mm-hmm. So I knew I already had my trail legs. And, you know, I could start in, even though it was towards the end of May, it was hot. But by the time my plan was, by the time I got to the Sierra, which is your higher in elevation, and there definitely is a lot of snow, and there was a lot of snow this year. It would potentially have melted. A lot of it would have melted away by that point. And two, I mean, just in general, it wouldn't have been as snowed out as the CDT, because one thing about the PCT is that even when you're in the high snow areas, you go up and do a pass and then you kind of hike back down into a valley. So you're always at least, even at the highest, you know, like in summer, even though a lot of the passes are filled with snow and you have to climb and, you know, do a lot of snow travel, you at least can find dry ground to camp on, and you can, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to be out of the snow. On the CDT, you kind of stay up in elevation. So every single night you're camping on top of snow, and the CDT kind of follows more. It kind of traverses a bit more. It stays up high. So you're kind of more susceptible to the avalanche risk. So there's less of that on the PCT. So that was kind of my rationale for jumping on the PCT.
And how did it go for you? How did the PCT turn out?
Oh man, you know, at first, like, I just started on the trail, and I mean, honestly, I felt like just a pure stud, you know, like
people left and right.
I don't want to make it sound like I was just, you know, blowing by people, you know.
Well, like, if people don't know you, you look like you're in really good shape, and like you said, you had your trail legs, and you're incredibly, you know, are you considered ultralight? So you add all those together, you're a speed demon.
Sure.
Man.
Yeah. This was, I mean, in my opinion, everything that came, like what got me to the PCT, like I already had my one through hiking experience, and then I had my 900 miles on the CDT that helped build my leg. So, I mean, I really felt like I was at my peak performance level. You know what I mean? And what I loved about that was that, yeah, you're right about that. I did get to meet a lot of people because, I mean, from day one, you know, I understand that a lot of people, they're starting the PCT, and perhaps this is their first long distance trip. So, you know, they're still kind of like learning how to use all their gear and learning how to deal with things and, you know, getting used to sleeping outside. But so for comparison, you know, I had already spent almost a month and a half already through hiking and backpacking, you know what I mean? So it was a very easy transition for me for that. What I loved most about it is that because I did have the legs, I was able to, you know, I would come across like many groups, you know, I would pass a lot of different people and then also just be able to camp. I found myself camping with a different set of people or a different person almost every night at the beginning, because I was able to do the longer mileage. And then, but because of that, there was also a negative side to that, is that, you know, I mean, I was kind of limited at the, my time frame was limited because I was starting so late. So I did have to put in the miles if I did want to complete the trail. So it was good and bad, but it was more positive for me, just the fact that I got to meet so many people, and I do enjoy talking to everyone that I meet along the trail. So it was just fun to just be able to just meet so many new faces on the PCT.
Oh, I imagine, man. That's, if I could do any of the three, I feel like I would want to do that one.
I would say that's, I tell people if they think they might want to do a thru hike and they think they might only be able to do one or want to do one, I would say the PCT is a great option. It has all the elements of the AT, with, you know, like social aspect. There is quite a lot of people on the trail. So if you want to meet other hikers and experience that, you kind of get that aspect of it. And it's a good length, 2,600 miles. It's not quite as long as the CDT, but a little longer than the AT. And then I like it because it also, I would say it's a little bit more mellow. You know, the AT kind of takes every peak. Now, while the AT is not as high in elevation, I mean, every single climb, they call them PUDs, pointless ups and downs. There's a lot of PUDs on that. Yeah, it's kind of a trail term, but there's not so many PUDs on the PCT. So it's just a really enjoyable trail. You know, like I said, it's not unheard of to just average 30 miles a day. And I mean, that's just waking up early or just waking up with the sun, having just full days of just staying moving. And that's pretty much it. I mean, you're not racing or anything. You're not running. You're not doing anything too crazy. I mean, that's even with breaks. Like, I mean, my average, like, I just want to make it clear, you know, I was like, I was averaging big miles, but it's a great trail if you want to just go ahead and see what you can do, what you're capable of. I love it. And that's one of the reasons why I really enjoyed my time there out there.
That's awesome. Sounds incredible. And now I was going to ask, was being out there that long hard on your marriage?
No, I would say to answer that, you know, very truthfully, like my wife, I tell people all the time, I'm so grateful for my wife in that she is not one to particularly care to spend 6 months in the woods and rarely shower, right? And sleep on a 1/8-inch foam pad. I mean, when I say this out loud, I think like, wow, maybe she is the smart one and I'm really the one that's the crazy one. It's not really her thing, if I could say it that way. It's not really her thing, but what she is that she's very supportive about these things, and she understands. She listens to me, and she gets that this is a part of my life that, you know, after hiking the AT, I realized I may want to kind of incorporate this into my life. You know, I realized the joy of long distance hiking and the joy of the outdoors, and she definitely does enjoy taking trips and everything, but the longer type trips are not really her thing. So I guess with the way that it's so easy to stay connected, you know, it's really not as, you know, obviously it's all virtual, you know, we FaceTime and we stay in touch over the phone. It's not the same as, you know, physically being together, but it is a little harder, but I think we make it work. You know, she realizes just how passionate I am about being out on the trail and how happy it makes me. So I think that we kind of incorporate that into our life. And then when I come back, I do my best to show her just how grateful I am for her support and the fact that she just, you know, just is okay with me being gone for an extended amount of time, doing something I love so much. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, where we're at with that. And it's not something that, you know, I can see myself. In my opinion, I don't think it's necessarily healthy to, you know, peace out every summer, you know, say bye wife, you know, I'll see you in 5 months. Like maybe at least for us, it might not be the right thing for me to do, but I do realize I have the certain responsibilities And I think that, though, just knowing that I have a wife that if we sit down and communicate about these things, that I'm just very grateful that she's cool with it. So I think overall it was a great thing.
You guys were planning to, you were hiking north essentially to your new home in Montana originally, but you got moved to the CD or to the PCT due to weather, due to snow. And was that still the plan all the way through to finish and then make your way back to Montana?
Pretty much, yeah. It was a crazy goal I had in mind. And at the end of the day, I just thought, well, hey, if, you know, I'll get as far as I can. And, you know, if I can't finish the trail, it's, as they say, it's a really popular saying, it's not necessarily about the destination, you know, it's about the journey. And I really believe in that. I think there's a lot of truth to that. It's about just what, you know, what you're able to experience. Because, you know, some people might ask, well, why didn't you just kind of, you know, stay on the CDT and finish that through, or just kind of and kind of just see what, you know, how far you could get with that and just not. But mainly it was because they were calling for bad weather for like the next 2 weeks. So I was even going to have to sit around on the CDT for, you know, for a couple of weeks or so. And I didn't want to put myself in an unsafe, you know, unsafe position. So the PCT was a little bit more enjoyable. It was more fun. You know, the weather was a bit more stable. And I knew that I could just go a lot longer and just cover more mileage. And that's what I like, you know. So, yeah, that was kind of the intention. I was supposed to finish up in Montana. I was actually supposed to finish up towards the end of summer and help Katie out with a few weddings in Montana that we had scheduled for this summer. And I was actually supposed to attend her brother's my brother-in-law's wedding in Montana.
Wow.
And then so
with your trekking,
yeah, I was just gonna
say what's up,
exactly, pretty beard and all, you know, just maybe I just was gonna, yeah, I just made sure I just was showered up and, you know, but yeah, essentially that was the goal. I was gonna go and just do as much as I could on the PCT and then come to Montana and then just leave off, just kind of continue where we left off over there and kind of help Katie with the weddings. And then I did kind of go through when I made it to, so California was perfect. Everything was a blast. Met some great people. And when I got on, you know, my first day making it to Ashland into Oregon, that's the first major town in Oregon. I got a call from Katie and actually just received some really bad news. My sister was in the hospital and she ended up just and at the end it was a 2.5 week battle and she actually passed away. So that's, you know, that's another layer of what makes this year so memorable. But it's the reality, you know, and that kind of that experience right there just also helped to just, wow, just kind of shape this summer and shape my perspective on life and everything. And to be honest, I'm still kind of going through that, working that out. And my goal is to talk about these things and kind of work it out. And hopefully if somebody else is going through a similar situation, maybe just knowing that other people are kind of going through tough times like this, that it might help them with their struggles. So
I know this is an ad, but this is actually how I feel. Ombra's sunglasses are amazing. They're armless, and they just have a cord that connects the frame around your head. And my son can't pull them off my head like he pulls my other sunglasses off. They won Backpackers Magazine Gear Editor's Gear Choice of the Year. They plant 20 trees for every pair they sell. And honestly, guys, I wear them every day. I take them everywhere I go. I just wore them cycling the other day on a long trip. It was, they just perform great. I love that there's no arms on them. I slip them in the pocket of my shirt or in my pants. I don't have to worry about breaking them. Fantastic glasses. I don't have to worry about them coming off if I'm wrestling around with my son or playing with my dogs. I really do enjoy them, and I'm going to be buying more for myself for the foreseeable future. I mean, they've totally changed the way I look at sunglasses. You can check them out too at ombras.com, ombraz.com. They make a great Christmas gift. I know you can't always make coffee the way you want to in a lot of the places that we go, you know, in the backcountry or on top of a mountain somewhere. But the good news is there is a great option for coffee in the backcountry, and it's CS Instant Coffee. They make big pouches that fill, you know, 20 ounce containers with fresh coffee. Just put some hot water in there and you're good to go, or put cold water in there and then you can have some cold brew. They use 100% compostable packaging, so just in case you dropped it, please don't, but if you did, it's going to biodegrade into the ground. It's great for backcountry travel or any time you just don't feel like breaking out the coffee maker or the French press or whatever. I actually use them all the time just in my house when I don't feel like making a big pot of coffee. So check them out at csinstant.coffee and use the code ADVENTURE at checkout to get a discount. So, you know, I know that your sister's passing is obviously has had an effect on this post-adventure depression, but, you know, we both talked beforehand and we want to focus on the depression itself rather than the situation that happened during your actual hike. And so if you don't mind, we can just focus on that if that's all right with you.
Yeah, that sounds good, Mason.
But yeah, man, I mean, you know, you get off the trail and, you know, what were you at that point? Were you excited about life afterwards or were you nervous about it? Like, how did you feel as you got closer to the end of the PCT itself?
Yeah, I think as I got closer to the end, I was excited to be finished and, you know, have this another through hike, you know, kind of in the books. And I was just kind of feeling very, you know, there's a sense, it's a bit of a bittersweet feeling where you feel the sense of accomplishment, right? Like, wow, I did this. I feel so great. I it just makes you feel really, really good about what you've been able to accomplish. And
yeah, I can only imagine, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, in just the amount, like this summer I hiked, I think it ended up being roughly 3,500 miles. So, I mean, I think that's not, you know, a number to, you know, just to kind of like laugh about. Like it's a decent amount of miles, but, you know, at the same time, you know, while feeling so good about just this grand accomplishment, you know, then, you know, there's also the feeling of, okay, well, it's almost a feeling of, well, now what, you know, I experienced this a little bit when I finished the AT, and I think it was a little bit different in that when I finished the AT, I was younger. I was in my early 20s and I hadn't, I had finished college. So I hadn't really started, didn't start employment. I hadn't started working on my career or anything like that. This year I had, we had a little bit more things in place. You know, we already had the goal of moving to Montana and everything is kind of set in place for that. We've already had some savings, we have our RV paid off and everything. So it wasn't like it was a different angle of why I was feeling a bit down, I guess, because after I finished the AT, was it more so like, oh my gosh, I got to get off the trail. I got to, you know, get a job. I can't, you know, I got to figure out what I want to do with my life. And I think there's some parallels there. At the very beginning, I felt a little bit like, okay, this is fine. I got things all figured out. And then, I don't know, it's almost as if when I got home is kind of like, you really, it starts to be a reality when you get home and you sit down. And then it's kind of like when you get into your routine, right? Like where you just wake up every day and you're not waking up to walk 30 miles, you know? And I don't know if that is where it stems from, you know, the fact that I'm just not moving, as much as being on the trail. So that could be it. I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you can comment on that if you've experienced something similar or if, you know, yeah, what you think.
I definitely think that's part of it. And, you know, I wanted to ask, when did you start sensing that you were feeling depressed about, you know, post-adventure? Like how soon? Was it like the next day you got home or a few weeks? You know, like what was it for you?
I think it's a little because after I got off the trail, I met Katie back in Montana, and then we did this grand road trip, you know, back to Florida and everything.
Yep, and I saw you on that. So how did you feel then?
I think I was okay then still, because it's just like it's like almost like a distraction, right? Like I'm still adventuring in a way, right? Like I might not be hiking every single day, but I'm out seeing new faces. You know, we got to meet up for lunch and have a good talk, and you know, we meet other friends along the way, and you're still road tripping. It's almost like the sense of adventure, and you're looking out the window on the drive and seeing, you know, all these different things and sleeping at a different place. It's almost like it's almost a continuation of the journey. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of elements that are very similar, you know, like you're not knowing where you're going to end up or how far you'll go or where you'll sleep. And it's definitely not normal, like in the sense of waking up in a house every day. So I totally get how that's like, that very much feels like a bike trip in a lot of ways, because it's on the road mostly, but you know, you're mm-hmm. driving something. But I can totally see how you would still feel really great about that experience.
Exactly. So we had that road trip, so that helped to kind of just make me almost distract me from this feeling. And then after that, we had a little bit of time back at home, but still we were planning for, and we took a crazy trip to a very kind of a whirlwind trip to Hawaii. It was my grandparents' anniversary and also Katie's 30th birthday. So we had that trip planned. So again, still, it goes back to just we had something else to do, something adventurous. And even so, I was like, again, not really thinking too much about it. And then I guess I would say is when I finally got back from that trip and kind of just had nothing on the books. You know, it was just at home. Yeah. Going to sleep every night in my bed, in our bed, the bed that we sleep in every night, and then just kind of like waking up in the same environment every day. I think that's if I'm remembering correctly, that's when it really started to set in.
Yeah, man. And I'm not gonna sit here and like try to diagnose or fix anything, of course, but you know, I've talked about it on the show. I've definitely dealt with post-adventure depression and or, you know, depression in general. And, for years actually, and it's been a huge challenge at times, but man, so I definitely can relate to a lot of this, but I can't say that I'm any sort of expert just as a disclosure, but sure. You said you felt this way on the AT before, but you were younger and maybe you were looking like, okay, my life's ahead of me. I don't know, what was some of the feelings? What do you think part of it, the biggest part that brought you down, was it the waking up in the same place every day or not having a goal in mind? Something like
sure.
that?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if I had to try to understand this, I would say it's a combination of things. I mean, it's generally those things, just the lack of adventure. I think it's the lack of physical exertion. You know, I mean, I do take bike trips around here and go for trail runs and stuff like that. But I mean, it pales in comparison to, you know, what I was doing.
Your full-time job was literally just walking.
Exactly. And I think it's a little bit of a sense of purpose. There's an aspect of that, like where it's not like every day I was thinking, got to get to Canada. But you know, there's just like this kind of this goal in the background in my head that just saying like, I'm just working towards something. And I kind of, it's a set defined goal that you're doing. So once you finish that it back at like now at home, I don't necessarily have like a very definable goal. I would say, you know, like there's different goals throughout the day, different career goals, different life goals, different, all kinds of different goals. But it's just, I think the goal being so easy and definable, you know, on something like a thru hike, I think for me, at least, I think that's what, I think that kind of holds me back. And then another thing that another aspect to it is, you know, kind of interactions, you know, daily interactions with people. Maybe you could relate to this where, you know, you get back from a trip at the same time, you have all your friends back at home or just even people you come into contact with and they know that you went on a crazy hike from Mexico to Canada. Right. And of course they ask you, how was the trip? Right. And it's kind of this feeling of they're asking you because they're supposed to ask you. It's hard to explain, but it's almost as if, you know, you start to, it's like a something that all of us through hikers and adventurers and long distance athletes, we do some crazy adventure And if you ask me, oh my God, it's like you want to sit down and talk about it for hours and hours, and you don't necessarily have that opportunity or the time. And the people, they don't, I understand that maybe this is not what they do. So they might not necessarily be interested in a, you know, big, long, drawn out, like it's kind of hard to put it in a 5-second elevator speech of, you know, like, how was your trip? Oh, it was good. You know, like so I think to me that I struggle with that because I want to sit down and tell people all about it, all about how all the snow that I traveled through and how I got back on the trail and got stung by 4 yellow jackets and had an allergic reaction and battled through it and, you know, and talk about how how I climbed, you know, up to Mount Whitney, the highest peak. Like, there's so much stuff I want to talk about and how it shaped me and changed me as a person and how I benefited from it. But I can't do that. You know, it's the interactions I feel like in the world off trail are a little, they're short. They're a little bit more on the shallow side of things, I would say. And I think that I struggle with that as well. So that's just me. I think other people might have other reasons for why they feel kind of a funk after the trail. But for me, those are the reasons why I feel this way.
Man, yeah, it's, you know, there's a writer I really like. We've actually had him on the show, Rolf Potts, and he's the first person I ever read that talked about that experience, that phenomenon when you go home after an adventure and, you know, you talk to all your buddies who've never left or people who've never done anything like that. And it's extremely isolating you don't want to be pretentious and like, oh, you couldn't understand, exactly. But you really can't understand unless you've gone through it. Just like someone with, you know, cancer or someone that, you know, sure, has gone through any sort of experience, traumatic or positive, you just can't understand unless you go through it yourself. And so there is this connection or this disconnection based on the person you're talking to's either experience or lack thereof. I totally get it, man. That was very hard, especially, you know, everyone might not know this, but after the interview last year, Joe and I realized we had met in high school without even realizing it when we talked on the show, but we just were texting afterwards talking about stuff and just happened to come up with, you know, where we were from and realized that we were like one town away from each other growing up. And I actually used to play basketball at your house growing up, which is just crazy to me.
To me, that was the most mind-blowing thing that I ever learned. Yeah, it was crazy.
I remember I was sitting on the toilet, actually, and I was like, Emily, come here, wait until I'm done, but this is crazy.
Exactly. And that speaks to, that's so funny. And it speaks to, like, I love what you said about just, it's almost like it's hard to relate to people. And I think that just goes to show you how small the world can be. And some of the things that I do to try to help get through these things is find people, you know, I mean, we always talk about how, oh, I love, you know, the trail is so great because everyone's not on social media all the time and you get to disconnect, you know, in a way from that. But in a way there's a lot of positives to it in that some of the things like how I've been able to, I guess, cope with this is finding other people that have gone through this and just knowing that other people have done it. So, I mean, you have no idea how much it helps me just talking to you and just knowing Mason also went through this, or, you know, reaching out to some of my buddies that I met this summer on the PCT and say, hey, how are you doing, man? You know, how's it going? How's it been since you've been off the trail? And I think for me that kind of helps. So especially living in it, I live in an area where it's a little, there's not a lot of adventurers, or I mean, I'm from Florida and there's a lot of, it's a big retirement community. So there's not necessarily, you know, I'm not living in Boulder or some very adventurous, you know, Tacoma, Washington, or someplace where you're surrounded by a bunch of, you know, adventurers and crazy outdoorsy people that you can kind of talk about this kind of stuff with. It's kind of hard to find people to relate to, but I think like the positive to that is that we can find other people that kind of are going through or have gone through similar things that can kind of help you understand it.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that. That's why I brought up, you know, we're from the same area. There is nobody I know back home that can relate to any of these really, really long, really difficult adventures. And in a way, it's refreshing, but it really is extremely isolating. And there's no, you know, like you said, it's very, very few connections. The closest person that can relate is like 500 miles away, you know? So it's like, I mean, obviously, I don't know. There's tons of people who have done adventures all over the place, but there definitely are places, like you said, that just have a higher concentration. There's more people that can relate. And when you do find those people, it's very important to stay in touch and to connect and check in on each other, because I guarantee most of the people that you hiked the PCT with are going home to families or going back to places where they probably feel exactly how you do right now. And they think they're all alone, you know? So it's extremely important to stay in touch and connect about that. But, you know, right now, you know, being, you know, you're back in Florida for a little while. Is there anything right now that brings you joy, like on a daily basis?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's quite a bit. I don't want to, you know, to sound so dark and dreary that, you know, woe is me. My life sucks. So, you know, that's definitely not the case. You know, I have a lot of things that bring me joy. I'm so happy and grateful to have a wife that, you know, is there supporting me and listens to me and I can talk to about some of these struggles. So that brings me joy. Honestly, something as simple as going for a bike ride, that brings me joy. You know, because just staying moving and staying active, I can, that really helps. And just, again, just like talking with people. I think sometimes it's the smallest thing. Sometimes I'll reach out to a friend and that I kind of know is going through this, like I said, and then just a little small interaction with people, that helps me. And then also just knowing that for me personally, I know that I already got through this one time with the AT, and knowing that I have a lot of years left, a lot of adventures left, right, to experience, knowing that, you know, I know I have so much more life left, and that brings me joy, just knowing that I finished the PCT, but there's still a lot of other trips that I know I will be doing, and it's kind of fun, you know, to think about, and that kind of brings me joy. I like to plan trips, and sometimes when I have just dreaming up random trips and stuff in my head, that kind of also helps me out too. And just knowing that I just have a pretty great support group. I mean, that always helps. People are always you know, helping me to kind of get through these times.
It makes me wonder, you know, not saying that, you know, as an excuse or anything, but do you think this is just part of the package with being an adventurer? That you're just going to deal with this after a lot of really high trips where you're just, you know, in euphoria for half of the experience, that to come back, this is inevitable.
Sure, man. That kind of, as soon as you say that, it makes me think about a quote that a friend, I just will remember this quote forever. A friend of mine, he actually worked for an outfitter shop that I used to get my gear from when I first started backpacking here in Central Florida. But anyways, he's a two-time triple crowner. So he's well experienced with long distance hikes. And after the AT, I just couldn't find anyone to talk to that could relate and everything. So I thought to go to him, and I just asked him about it. I said, well, you know, have you experienced this? Do you know what I'm going through? Like, is this normal? Is this not normal? And he said this one thing. He said, you ruined yourself in a good way, you know? And I thought there's a lot of truth. You know, I really like, I mean, it was kind of, I don't know if I should have been like, okay, great. Thanks for telling me that, you know, but there's a lot of truth to what he said. It's like, you know, because I got to experience something that very few people, get to experience, right? Like a journey just so epic and so grand. And like you said, so euphoric that it's, I got to see that side of things, and I've opened my eyes to a different type of adventure and a different way of life. And, you know, a certain lifestyle that is not considered normal in our culture and in our society. So he said that, he said, you ruined yourself in a good way. So I like that quote. I think it kind of comforts me, because I know it's like, I mean, I think that's one of the things that, yes, I do agree with you that it is part of the package. Like, you have to understand that you're doing something that is just so wild and so unconventional and just so out there that it just comes, I think it's part of the territory. And I don't think that, I think everyone experiences it a little bit differently. Some people more so than others. And some people, they can do a through hike, get, you know, go right back and without missing a beat, you know. And I envy, I wish I was like that. But I think I fall more along the lines of, you know, someone that, I think it's because like when I do these trips, I get so into it, you know, I love it so much. And I'm like, I'm so enjoying myself. And people ask like, was it ever hard? Like, did you ever feel like quitting? Did you ever? And I said, yeah, I mean, I had my tough times, but I was well aware that while I was out there, they're like, no, man, like this is the best, you know? Yeah. So I think because I like, I enjoy it so much, that's why I kind of, you know, just experience this kind of downtime afterwards. Maybe that's why, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, that's a great quote that your friend told you, because so many people, you ruin yourself by succeeding at a really, really hard goal, like something that literally to do that, you can't half-ass it, or you can't put, you know, 10% of your time into it. It literally has to become your life for till it's complete. You can't, I mean, I guess you could go on and off the trail every other week and kind of split life, but that just logistically is a nightmare. But, you know, sure. To do something like this and to do it well, you really do have to commit, and seeing it all the way to the finish is, like you said, something that, man, I guarantee just a less than 10% of people ever experience something like that. And so, mm-hmm. It is kind of a badge of honor almost to say, like, I completed this and now I feel a little aimless because that took so much of my time and energy. But knowing that you're the type of person that's going to set goals high like that and shoot for them, and you know how to achieve them, you know, I do hope that gives you hope to say, you know, once I have some time and some perspective from this experience, I will be ready to set another goal that will consume me for a while. And, you know, maybe it gives you comfort that it's a cycle all over again.
I appreciate you saying that. It's true. I look forward to, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom, you know, like I generally, yeah. Like naturally I'm naturally a happy person. And that's why I guess also because it's kind of like it feeds itself, right? Like,
for a while, you know, Smiling Joe.
Exactly. Smiling Joe. And this year I was Mercury, you know, cause I don't know, people say, hey, you make a good Mercury, you know, cause I was just had a big old smile all the time and just like having a great old time. And I think, just really like just knowing that, I don't know, it's just knowing that life, it's kind of a metaphor for life almost, even like, you know, I think it's, I don't know too many people that are just 100% happy all the time, right? You know, I think what we see, you know, when we see people, you know, and what we see on social media, we think you see other people's lives and you see like, oh wow, this person, they got their life together, they're always they just seem perfect, right? Like I wish I was like them. And I think also to an extent, like a lot of people see the so I'm really happy we're having like a real, just kind of like a just a real honest conversation about this stuff, because I think with social media becoming more prevalent on these trails and on, you know, a lot of these adventures, people are showing a lot of the pictures and their summit photos and their, you know, their photos at the end of the trail. And I think people see that's part of it. Maybe people that are wanting to get into this, wanting to do a long through hike, and they're saying, wow, like, you know, they kind of long for that because they see all the positives to it. You know, you can only take pictures on bright and sunny days because you don't want to break your camera, you know, on a rainy
That's
day.
A really but good
you don't,
point.
you don't see like the fact that you were just like 14 days straight of just rain and your shoes never dried and you're, you know, then they freeze overnight. Like you don't see that. And I think it's good to kind of just realize that it's, you know, even on the trail, like it's a great experience and I would recommend it to everyone. But at the same time, you know, it's, there's reality to it that it's not, even out there, even it's like not all perfect, and you could do something so grand and so exciting and so amazing, but there, it's not, you know, it's, there's other sides to it, right? And so I think it's kind of, I think, you know, my goal would be to kind of help people see that side of it and see like it's great. I, If you have an inkling to do something like a thru hike, I would not discourage you one bit from it. I would say, heck, man, go for it. It's the best thing you will ever do. But I just would love people to just kind of see that, like, yeah, you know, there's other sides of it, and hopefully that we can all help each other get through it. And that's why I'm so happy that we're kind of able to talk about this so kind of openly and honestly. So,
yeah, I think this is the title of a book, but my boss told me this the other day, you know, the obstacle is the way that you should go. Like the we were talking about something. He goes, well, that obstacle is, it's not a sign saying you shouldn't go that way. That is the way you're supposed to go. That's just something you're supposed to get over and kind of conquer. And I was like, huh, that's really interesting. Cause you know, we do spend a lot of time, I think, avoiding really, really hard things. And obviously a thru hike or any sort of adventure is not easy, but you know, none of us do it for, none of us do these trips for happiness in the moment necessarily. Cause a lot of, you know, climbing 10,000 feet a day and doing 35 miles on foot is not, it's like, it's not real, you know, you're not happy doing that all day. It's like, it's obviously type 2. Yeah. It's type 2 fun. It's very hard. It's exhausting. You're breathing heavy. Your heart's pounding. You're hungry. Your feet hurt. It's cold or whatever. Super hot. Like it's kind of very uncomfortable most of the time. And I think what I learned through mine is that, you know, this depression or this post trip, you know, really lull, you shouldn't avoid it, but really I've definitely learned to embrace those lows and say, man, there's a lot to learn here. Let me just get through it and be mindful that it's going to pass and that, you know, I know who I am and almost treat this as its own adventure. Like, I'm going to get through this challenge too. This is like another little through hike, or this is like another little adventure for me to get through and see what I'm made of in a way. And man, it's just been, I've definitely moved away, like you said, with social media. I don't want happiness and perfection to be the goal. I want it to, I don't know. It's interesting. It's, you know, it's very interesting. You mentioned the social media thing, because I think we all do want to post our highlights because we're either proud of them or excited about them. But you know, I don't intentionally do that, but I do that myself. You know, I look at my feed and it's like, oh, it's all these great pictures. I know that I was mad at my wife that day. I know that she just cussed me. You know what I mean? I know that I was pissed off, or my knee was hurting or whatever. I know when I took that picture, I was mad as hell or really depressed or whatever. But I, you know, and I'll share those things. Just, it's weird. I don't mean to perpetuate it, but I do, you know?
Maybe we should start a new movement, a new trend where we're like posting negative parts about our lives and social
media. All the awful days. Yeah. I'm sure somebody out there has got to be doing it, man. That'd be awesome to see.
And then maybe it'll help us get through this all and work things through. Hey, you know, maybe we're onto something.
That's what I'm saying, man. There needs to be more of that for sure in today's world, you know, especially I don't see how anyone, you know, looks at an adventure and thinks, oh, you know, how wonderful that would be, and not contemplate also how difficult it is. I guess because when you have experience like we do, you're like, oh yeah, that you're drawn to that challenge of it. You know, you're not drawn to the good days necessarily. You look at those pictures and you see you see in between the lines, like, yeah, it's going to be hell getting to that day, but that's what you were there for.
Yeah. It's addictive, right? Like, I mean, it's kind of like, that's why you see there's some statistic that says, like, for now, you know, we're talking about through hiking. So it's like you do one through hike or you do all three for the Triple Crown, right? There's not too many people that have done just two.
Interesting.
Right?
Because,
And I don't know, you know, you will have to, like, we could do some research on that to see just how true that is.
It's true.
You heard it here first on the Adventure Sports Podcast. It is definitely the truth. So, but it is true. Like you talk to people and you meet people on the, you either, you know, if they're on their second trail, you talk to them, you know, if I'm on the PCT, oh, hey, like, is this, you know, you get to talk and you say, is this your first long hike? And they either say yes, or they, you know, you never hear someone just on their second trail and not intending to try to go for at least the triple crown. You know what I mean?
That's a really good point. I feel like everyone I've talked to that's done it, that definitely seems true to me.
Yeah, or I meet other people, and whether it mean maybe it's not even a through hike, maybe it's their first through hike, but they are doing a through hike now because they did a really epic, you know, bike packing trip, and then they kind of got the bug a little bit. They saw how much it strengthens them, and how much they learned from it, and how much they enjoyed it, and how great of an experience it is. So they kind of, I've seen people, they crave that. After I finished the AT, I mean, all the people you talk to, it's like, you're already, before you're finished with that trip, you're already planning or just dreaming up the next one, you know? And I think there's a lot of truth to that, you know, it's addictive. And maybe that's another reason why it is a little hard coming off some of these adventures, because, you know, you're wanting to do it again, you know, yeah. Or you're just, you know what I mean? It's like, you're just craving it some more. You're just that, I don't know if it takes an addictive personality or something to want to do these kind of crazy, insane long distance trips, but maybe so. I'm not sure.
Are you wanting to do another one right now?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, sure. Why not?
Is that still something that, because a lot of times when you get depressed, you just don't find joy in a lot of things, or you don't really want to do the things you know you love. But for you, how you don't feel that way?
I feel like I definitely have to. I'm not ready right now to do anything like that. So when you say am I wanting to do one, I'm picturing in the future, you know, like maybe not anytime soon, you know, because I've just been gone for
six months.
So I got a lot of stuff that I want to take care of and kind of catch up on. But yeah, I can see myself totally doing another adventure. You know, I would hope that I would hate to have to experience this kind of feeling again. So, but at the same time, I don't want to let the fear of feeling this deter me from doing something that I know I just love so much. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like definitely.
Like maybe, yeah, sure. Right now in the short term, I just, yeah, I feel bad. And half the time I barely want to get out of bed, right? You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I think I take comfort in knowing that I know that I'm going to push through, and I know that this is going to be temporary. I hope it's going to be temporary, you know? And I know that there's just plenty of life left and plenty of trips to take, like I said earlier, and that's what kind of gets me through it. And so yeah, so to answer your question, I would definitely love to do another trip. Maybe a bike packing trip is what's in my future. I'm not sure. I hear a lot about that.
Yeah, you can do those. Yeah, they're quicker. You know what I mean? You do the trails quicker.
Yeah,
it's doable. A little more doable.
Yeah,
time frame, a lot of times.
Yeah, with the move and the lifestyle, with the life change, moving to Montana and stuff, and trying to build our wedding planning business over there. I know that, you know, it's very seasonal. So for me, I know now that our summers, people get married in Montana during the summer, of course, because the weather's a lot better for that. And so now I kind of have to just that's what kind of also excites me. What, you know, I kind of remembered an answer to one of your other questions, is that also kind of brings me a little bit of joy right now too, is just knowing that, you know, maybe now I'm going to get into peak bagging or climbing, right? Something that I can do. I think being for me, what makes me happy is just to think about that I'm going to be closer to this environment, mm-hmm. closer to the mountains. Like now it's hard, you know, it's hard to really to look outside my window and just not see, you know, just see anything. Flat.
Dude, yeah. I get it. I'm from there too. And gosh, it is a little bit, you feel so far away from the mountains.
Sure. And from someone who, for someone who loves it just so much, it's a little hard. You know, I don't want to like just spend my time, you know, just, I want to spend my time in a place that I love and surround myself. So I think we're going to try it out. You know, this is new. You know, we'll listen to this maybe 2 years from now, and we tried Montana for a year. Maybe we're living somewhere now. You know, that's the thing, that what the adventure of life is, that, you know, right now we think we we sort of have it all figured out. We're going to make this move. And if it works, that's amazing. But the cool thing is that, you know, we can always just kind of pivot again and try something else. So I think just the move, just sitting here talking about it right now, is making me feel just excited and, you know, happy. And just the thought of all the new opportunities that I'm going to have out West, you know, and all the new people I'm going to meet and all the new relationships I'm going to make, and maybe all the new trail running people I'll meet, you know what I mean? And just hiking buddies. And another cool thing about it is living so close to the Continental Divide Trail is I'm going to be right there. So I'll be able to, during my free time, even if I'm not doing a through hike that summer, if I can squeeze a couple of days or so, I can park myself at a trailhead and I can do some trail magic, right? And just kind of continue to be involved. I think it's important to just continue to be involved in these groups, in this community. And I think the hiking community and in general, our community, the adventure sports community, I think it's a really good one. I think people are very kind and just willing to help each other out. And I think that's what you see out there. And that's what, those are my kind of people, you know. And I think living in closer to the mountains and being able to just kind of give back, you know, right, for all the people that gave back to me, all the trail angels, all the people who provided trail magic, gave me rides. Like, it brings me joy just the thought of being able to do that right now for someone that was in my shoes in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's, I will say, personally, I can't, you know, obviously I never want to say this is how you get through this, but personally, probably the biggest factor that got me through that terrible bout with depression was taking the focus off myself and my story by helping other people, you know, whether that was volunteering or, you know, doing projects for people. It was really just focusing on other people's needs. First of all, made me realize how fortunate I was. And second, it was just a break from my own thoughts and my own obsessive, you know, like just like woe is me mentality. Like, I didn't want that mentality, but it just seemed to be very evident during that time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I almost couldn't help it. It was just kind of like my baseline. And
that consumed you almost.
Yeah. And to fight that, getting just the focus with new faces and getting, you know, telling, you know, showing, helping other people go on adventures, really, and giving advice, you know, literally going on Reddit and just helping answer people's questions or giving them peace about their upcoming adventure or something like that. Anything just helped tremendously. And, I don't know, my old basketball coach in college said that he like the best way to get through something yourself is to get your head out of your ass and go help other people. And he's like, then you don't have time to think about yourself and your problems. And for me, it was extremely true. So I think that's just a great thing to be excited about for your sake. But my depression happened out here in Denver. You know what I mean? I had never been depressed before. And the whole experience, like the whole quote season, all happened right here in Denver.
That's interesting.
Closest to the mountains I've ever lived, because I was like in the mountains in California for a while, but pretty close, you know what I mean? A lot closer than Florida. And
sure.
I think it was just, I had just gotten married too, and we had just moved to Denver, first city I'd ever live in, big city. And gosh, it was just a number of things. It was so weird. Like, I never expected it, but, and you're moving out here. We're actually thinking about moving back to Florida soon.
Shoot, man, I'm making the wrong move.
No, you are not. Cause that's actually a big concern of mine, is moving back, is exactly everything you're talking about. Just feeling like, what the hell have I done? You know what I mean? I'm back in Florida, literally the opposite of the place I love. But, also it's going to be like an adventure in itself. Just like, all right, can I do this now? Can I be content anywhere I go? And, you know, I'm ready to see if I can be. And if not, like you said, shoot, we spend a year or two there, three even, and say, yeah, we can pivot again. We can go back out there. We can go somewhere. We know we love the mountains, but maybe we didn't like Denver. You know, maybe it's just too busy. Let's go somewhere smaller, closer. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And that's what I like to advocate for, just being flexible, right? And being flexible and just knowing that, and it's kind of like what I learned on the trail and what we all go through, is out there, like, they tell you all the time when you're prepping for a long through hike or a long trip, it's like, you can plan all you want, make a notebook about where you're going to camp every night and, you know, how many miles you're going to do. That's great. You could use that, you know, it's going to become very good fire kindling, you know, because it's like, you might as well throw that out. You might as well throw that in the fire right now, just because it just doesn't work that way. And I think that's kind of like life is similar to that. And you have all these, like you said, like we can listen to this a year later and see, and who knows where we'll both be, right? It's like, it's interesting to think about where you think you got it all figured out. You think you know, you have a good plan and things are just all straightened out. And then you get there and it's like, well, maybe this is not exactly what I thought it would be, right? Like, so, and I like to just stay, like what I learned from the trail is just keeping yourself in a position where you're open to change, open to flexibility. It kind of goes back to the adventurous things. Like if you're willing to just kind of think outside the box and just make a make a bold move. And that's what, like, I think through hiking has definitely helped me with, like it's making something like moving across the country not feel as, cause at least this time I'm driving, not walking, right. You know? So it's like, it makes something as big as that. Like maybe somebody like other, you know, someone not used to doing it is something as adventure that's a huge crazy thing. And don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of unsurety with that, like we're still scared, there's a lot of things that we're more willing to face it, because kind of like when you do something like a through hike, it just shows you like what you're, you know, just what you can go through and how you can just face adverse situations and kind of like get through it. And I think that's like, it speaks to the positive thing about a thru hike. You know, I don't want to make this whole episode seem like, oh, don't go through like the PCT. It is a really cool thing. And I'm excited to hear, you know, how your move works out. And hopefully like it's everything that you guys need. And I think it's kind of also like the trail and living in the mountains. It's like we go through seasons, right? And you try something, or, you know, it's like you do this for a certain season and then the next season comes and you do something else, right? Like, you know, you can't, it's hard to continue doing the same thing throughout the year, all the time, year after year. I mean, at least for me, I think a lot of us outdoors adventure types, a lot of us, you know, long distance adventurers can relate to that. It's like, it's hard to do. I think that's why we're drawn to these sports, is because you go through seasons, you go through changes. And I think that's important to kind of be aware of, at least for me, that just, you can constantly make changes and, you know, just experience different seasons. So I like to look at that like analogy, like just life as a season, like different seasons.
You know, that's good, man. Cause you know, seasons really aren't that long. Like I realize this is really the first time I've ever lived in like real seasons year round. And they do feel like it feels like forever. Every day is the same, you know, it's cold or it's getting colder or slowly warming up. But before you know it, you know, there's a quote, I think it's C.S. Lewis. He's like, it's funny how every day nothing seems to change. Every day seems the same, but when you look back, nothing's the same. Everything's different now. And this slow change, it really, you know, the season is at its peak for like a month. And then it's like a month on either side of transitioning. And that's really not that much time. And so what's beautiful is like we've been out here 5 years and it feels like a lifetime in a way. But I feel like I've gone through 20 seasons out here. Just I feel like I've gone through iterations of myself. Like tons, like, oh, I'm so different than I was 5 years ago. And I think 5 years is not very long. I feel like I really been here, like really lived and experienced this place. What, you know, 5 more years somewhere else, I might hate it, but I can say, you know, it's going to go by fairly quickly and I'll be able to figure out like, okay, we didn't like this. Let's go somewhere else and spend the rest of our lives if we want to. Like you can spend, I don't know. It's funny how in one hand it seems to go by so quickly, and the other it doesn't. Like a through hike, you know. Every day you're just doing the same thing over and over, but
Yep.
Before you know it, you're just in a totally different place. Like, you know, the south side of the PCT, within a few hundred miles, you're totally out of the desert and in the Sierras. And it's just like, holy cow, how'd this happen? I'm just walking every day. It felt like nothing was changing. And here I am in a totally different environment.
Yep. And then it goes back. And then you wish, you know, while you're in the desert, it's so hot. You're just sitting there wishing like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get into the Sierra because it's going to feel nice and cool up there. And then you get there and then all the post-holing and sun cups. Oh, and then you're saying, man, I wish I was back in the desert, you know? And so isn't that funny the way that works? Is like, I think it goes to just kind of being present, right? With what you're experiencing now, it's winter, right? And well, here in Florida, it's basically just still summer, but
right.
You know, but it's like it's easy to be in the season, right, and say, I wish it was back to summer. And then, you know, and then summer comes and then you have maybe rainy weather or hot temperatures and like, you know what, you know, it would be kind of cool to just not feel so hot, you know what I'm saying? So
absolutely,
I think that's kind of also kind of a cool thing to think about, is just saying like, well, you know, just kind of take the seasons as they come and really just enjoy them for what they are. Man, didn't think we'd be so philosophical. Look at us go. The Philosophical Adventure Sports Podcast.
There we go. We're going to change the name. You know, I talk to people all the time that are moving out to them, or that, you know, they're like, oh, you live in Denver. That's awesome. I'd love to live there. And I tell them like, you know, guys, it's overrated living exactly where you want to. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm really glad we have, but you don't really know what the experience will be like till you get there. I'm like, I'm not like happier here. You know, I am closer to the mountains, or my family is closer. But a lot, I feel like our life is missing out on a lot of things, like connection with family and some close friends that are not here. And, you know, it's expensive. There's lots of traffic. It's hard to connect with the community. You know, one thing with when you move places, like I've heard people say this a lot, you know, you move somewhere that's, there's a lot of people like you, like outdoorsy and educated, I've even heard. And people are just more closed off. You know, when I go home to the South, you know, everyone's a redneck, but like they are, there's like everyone's like handing me like what beef jerky and fried fish and like having me over, and it's like, wow, this is really community oriented, and it's awesome in a way. But there's also, you know, downsides to their lifestyle, and it's just kind of some give and take. But I've learned, like you were just saying, like just be present where you are with what you have and what you can do. If you're constantly looking at, you know, this next phase of how much better it's going to be. And really your life is good where it is right now. Like, I don't know. I really feel you're just missing out on so much, because anywhere you are, man, like even somewhere like Florida, like where you are right now, it is hugely underrated wild wilderness scene there. Like there's some wild stuff going on in that place. And to me, it's like, wow, I just wish I'd have known that as a kid. Like I just didn't have the eye or the ears for that. Or to care about it. But now when I go home, it's like this whole new perspective on the whole place. And it is exciting in a way. But I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent, man. I apologize.
No, that's okay. I love talking about this. So it's all right with me.
Yeah. So, you know, taking back to, you know, your story and where you are right now. You know, you're looking forward to the move coming up to Montana. And that's going to be just awesome, man. I'm really excited for you guys. You know, I know you're not maybe not in a position to share advice, but it, you know, any parting words for people who may be just feeling this way or maybe coming up on an adventure they're going on and kind of uncertain about it? Like, I know that's a huge question, but anything on your mind that you feel like sharing?
No, I would just say for anybody just kind of after coming off of a big adventure trip or something like that, and they feel like they may be experiencing some kind of depression or anything like that, I would say, like, just know that you're probably not the only one. In reality, there's a good majority of the people do experience that. So I would just say to be encouraged in that, and to, you know, I think what has helped me is finding people that can relate with you and try to find other people to talk to. And but I, on the other side of things, I would last like to say that if you would like to take a trip and there's a lot holding you back, you're scared and, you know, a lot of you're scared for the unknown, I would just encourage people to just to go for it, you know. And I will say thru hiking is the best thing that I have ever completed in my life, you know, best thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
It's just shaped how I live today and shaped my experience and has put me in a position to make the move to Montana, because it just changed the way I view life. So I would say thru hiking is an amazing thing to do. I would recommend it to everyone. And like I said, I mean, there's a lot of resources out there. There's so many great, I would just say, talk to someone who has done it, you know. The way that it's so easy to stay connected with people, you know, I'd love to answer any questions regarding thru hiking. And if anybody has any resources for me, you know, I'm happy to explore those, because, you know, we're finding that Mason and I talking about this stuff, it's like we're all kind of going through similar situations, right? Sometimes you don't even realize that we can help each other out if we continue to stay together and keep the community, you know, keep up with each other. And that's what I like to just tell people. So there's a lot of people, great people out there, people willing and that have gone through this stuff. So I would just say, don't be scared to just let it be, you know, let people know. Cause if people don't realize you're scared of something or depressed about something, or, you know, have some issue, like how else can you get helped? You know? So I would just say it's important to talk about things with people that you care about that are willing to help.
Man, I'm so glad you said that. That I totally forgot. That was probably the biggest thing that helped me, was finding out I wasn't alone. And that took talking about it. Well, Joe, man, I wish you the best of luck. And, you know, I know that you're a resilient person with lots of grit. Obviously, anyone that can do multiple through hikes is capable of really getting through anything in life. But, you know, this is just another challenge for you to get through. And I'm excited to do an interview, you know, about your next adventure, honestly.
All right, let's do it. Let's get that on the calendar.
You're always a spot for you for an interview.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks for being so open and honest. I know it's not always easy to do that.
No worries, Mason. Anytime.
All right, man.
All right, Mason.
Yeah, talk
soon. To you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.
First of all, thank you so much for listening. It means the world to us that you choose to listen to this show. If you'd like to help us further, you can leave a review on iTunes, share us with your friends, your family. It goes a long way to grow in the show. You can also support us financially through patreon.com/adventuresportspodcast. Link is in the show notes. And also, if you have an idea of who could be a good guest for the show, we're always looking for people to tell their story about the outdoors or adventure. So if you know someone, please reach out. Email us at info@adventuresportspodcast.com. And until then, get out there and have some fun.
Calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.